my favorite part is the speaker of lady language. Oh, yeah. Good morning. I must tell you, when Pastor Mark called me a few months ago, by the way, I love to call him Pastor Mark because in the movie The Lion King, when the hyenas are saying Mufasa and they go, ooh, when you say Pastor Mark, he goes, ooh. Just try it sometime and watch it. He'll go, ooh. Anyway, when he called me a few months ago and said, you know, what do you think about having a woman speaker for a whole month? I thought, what a cool idea, but, you know, don't ask me. It's always been one of my biggest fears to actually give the sermon. But he said, you know, have you ever thought about teaching on praise and worship? He said, we've heard the pastor speak about praise and worship, but we've never heard the praise and worship leader speak about praise and worship. And I thought, you know, I've always thought that I should, but I've never had the courage or the message or the opportunity. And now I have all three, so there's no excuse. I consider it such an honor to be able to speak to you about something that's so close to my heart. I want to speak to you today about three areas of worshiping God, and it's my desire that after this short sermon today, you are encouraged, empowered, and that maybe you have a different way of thinking or a new way of perspective on your personal worship life. One of my desires as the praise and worship leader of this church is to see and or hear every person in our body praising and worshiping God. Amen. Every person engaged and honoring the Lord, because that's why we're here. That's why the worship team is up here. It's our job to lead you into the throne room so you have an opportunity to worship the Lord, to worship the Holy Spirit in His presence. The first area I'd like to talk to you today about is words have power. That video was perfect, a perfect setup. I just happened to find it this week. Our words have enormous, enormous power. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. God spoke the world into existence, and we have been created in His likeness and in His image. Of all the creatures on this planet, only mankind communicates through spoken word. That's not by coincidence. The power to speak or to sing is a unique and amazing gift. And this leads us to the question, how are we using our words? Do we use our words to encourage or to tear down, to complain or to compliment, to speak or to sing victory or defeat? Like tools, our words can be used to help us reach our goals or to send us spiraling into a deep depression. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." That word unwholesome literally means rotten, worthless, or morally bad. If you want peace, victory, and joy in your life, your words should be encouraging, they should be edifying, they should be exhorting and encouraging and building others up. I think it's so easy for us just in our day-to-day lives to forget how powerful the words we use truly are. It's easy to forget what an impact they have on our emotions and on our actions. Being a teacher in this community, I had the opportunity to see a lot of classrooms and how teachers decided to decorate their classrooms and what posters they decided to put up. And one of the posters that was in a lot of classrooms and I thought was so powerful, it said this: "Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become deeds. Watch your deeds, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And character is everything." I'd like to read a scripture to you, and it's one that for a long time I found really puzzling, and part of it was because I didn't read the whole thing. But it wasn't until recently that I believe the Lord really showed me a great truth about it. And I'd like you to mentally picture what these scriptures say. This was after Jesus came into Jerusalem on the donkey. He came in and they had laid all the fronds down, and the next day, Well, that night he went to Bethel and slept. And then the next day, it says, early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it but leaves. You know, picture that. Jesus walks up to a tree. He's hungry. He wants some breakfast. There's nothing on it. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the tree withered and died. It became a stick. And I thought, really, Jesus, why are you killing a tree? You know, what did the tree ever do to you? It just didn't have any fruit on it. I mean, seriously. But then it says, when the disciples saw this, they were amazed. How did the fig tree wither so quickly, they asked. And Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. That is amazing. What a powerful truth lies there. Jesus is saying that if you truly believe in faith what you're asking, what you're singing, whatever you ask for, whatever you believe, it will come to pass. It will happen. But here's the key. If you have faith and do not doubt, that's the key. The words you sing on a regular basis feed your spirit. I'm going to say that again. The words you sing on a regular basis feed your spirit. This leads me to my next area. It's not about the quality of your voice. It's about your voice. And let me explain. God has instructed us in his word over and over and over, literally, over and over, to sing to him. Psalms 9:11 says, sing praises to the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. Psalms 21:13, be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing and praise your might. Psalms 30, verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Psalms 33, 3. Sing unto him a new song. You get the message? Psalm 66, 2. Sing forth the honor of his name and make his praise glorious. I could go on and on about all the verses in the Bible that teach us and speak to us about singing. The word sing is mentioned 119 times in the Bible. 56 times just in the book of Psalms. All told, the Bible contains over 400 references to singing and 50 direct commands to sing. The longest book in the Bible is a book of songs, and in the New Testament we're commanded, not once, but twice, to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs when we get together with one another. Those are in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. Why is it that God asks us to sing our words to him? Why not just pray and preach? We're taught that a lot, that we're supposed to pray and we're supposed to teach others about how we live. Why are God's people all throughout history always singing? One of the reasons is found in Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with singing. God sings. We're made in his likeness and his image, and God sings. I receive a daily devotional from Proverbs 31 Ministries. And the devotion on Tuesday, it just happened to be this week. I thought it was amazing. It was entitled, The Most Beautiful Love Song You'll Ever Hear. In the devotion, Tracy Miles, speaking about moms and how much they love to sing over their children, she says, as moms, we sing over our babies because we love them, not because they deserve it or they can do anything for us in return. They bring a delight to our hearts because they are ours. God's quiet love and gentle whispers of acceptance and delight are the greatest love song our spiritual ears will ever hear. We've been created in God's likeness and in his image, and God created our voice to be used to speak and to sing. If you are not using your voice to sing, then you're not using your voice the way God intended it to be used. It's the truth. God created us to sing. God has given each one of us an instrument that's unique to you. No one else sounds like you, no one else sings like you, and no one can express themselves the way you can through your voice. And it's the only instrument God placed inside your body. I'd like for you to imagine with me that you have a child. You've given this child a gift, and you've said, I want you to use this gift to speak to me and to sing to me. I'm only giving this gift to you. No one else's gift looks like yours, sounds like yours, can be understood quite like yours. It's unique to you. And now I want you to imagine that that child looks at you and says, but when I sing, it doesn't sound like her voice. I can't sing the way he can. So I don't think this gift is very useful. I'm not going to use it very much. I'll do it once in a while, especially when people can't hear me. But no more than that. I think our understanding of the beautiful gift of our singing voice needs to be understood more. I'd like to give you four things that singing does for you. The first thing is that whenever you sing, you are obeying God's command. We've just heard about 8 scriptures of how God's word tells us to sing. You are honoring God by doing and being obedient to him. Number 2, singing is one of the 2 chief ways that the word of God dwells in us richly. I mentioned before that there are 2 New Testament verses that speak to us about singing. And this is one of them. It's Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The Apostle Paul lays out this exhortation to let God's word dwell in us richly, and then he tells us how. He says to teach and to sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's one of the easiest ways to remember something? You sing it. How many of the songs you learned when you were little do you still remember? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, the songs that, the concepts that you were taught through song stick with you. And there's a reason for that. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I am a C, I am a C-H, I am a C-H-R-I-S. Probably the most annoying Christian song I've ever heard is that one. Mm-hmm. I should not teach that to my girls, but I am. Jesus loves me, this I know. I sing that one to my girls a lot. So whenever you sing and you sing the word, it gets in your spirit. Our bodies are designed that way. When you sing, number 3, you build others up. I'd like to read a few verses in Colossians. You've already heard one of them, but I'd like to read the whole section to you to put this into perspective. This is Colossians 3:12-16. And I want you to listen to this and think about it as our whole church body, okay? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as a member of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The exhortation to sing comes on the heels of bearing with one another, forgiving one another, putting on love, being at peace as one united body of Christ, and teaching God's word to one another. When we sing as the Bible instructs us to do together, corporately, we are encouraging one another. We encourage one another by singing. We become unified as one body when we all join together in worship. And we are such an incredible witness for anyone in our body that might not know our Savior. The fourth area I'd like to talk to you about in this section is if you struggle for joy, sing. If you're joyful, sing. God, in his perfect design and understanding of the human condition, has bound singing and joy together. They are linked, and there's a reason that they're linked. Psalms 5:11 says, "Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you." Psalms 9:2, "I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Psalms 59:16, "I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress." And my favorite is Psalm 63:7, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." Notice something about these verses. Sometimes singing gives birth to joy, and sometimes joy gives birth to singing. Persistently in Scripture, joy and singing are linked. It's not about the quality of your voice. It's about your voice and using it to glorify God through speaking and through singing. I think it's easy to believe that God accepts our offerings of musical worship based on our ability, based on our talent, based on our practice. It's easy for us to hear the sound of our voice and think, how could God ever be truly blessed by what I'm doing? But he can. When we use the gift he's given us to bless him, to encourage others to sing, maybe out of tune or off pitch, it brings him glory. It encourages us. It encourages others. And it brings overflowing joy in our lives. Singing ability has been put on such a high pedestal in our society. We've been told that if you can sing, then you're the one that should be doing the worshiping. If you have a beautiful voice, then I'm going to sit back and I'm going to listen to you sing instead of doing it myself. They're the ones who should honor God with their voices, but this is simply not true. All of us have been called by God to sing to him. There is power in our words. There is power in our combined voices being lifted to God through song. On an individual basis, when we're in our private time with the Lord or going about our day-to-day tasks, our singing may look very different than when we're in a corporate service. Singing doesn't have to be singing a song. If you struggle to sing, pick a note or pick every note and sing about what God is doing for you, what you'd like him to do for you, or just, you know, God just wants to hear your voice. Psalms 98:4 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Psalms 100 verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Psalms 95:1 says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." That word noise literally means to split the ears with sound. How many of you feel like you're going to split somebody else's ears with sound if you sing? God told you to do it. He said, that's okay. It also means to shout, to cry, and it's also the same word for triumph. Make a joyful triumph unto the Lord. When you sing and you exercise your faith and you use your voice to glorify God, you're singing your own triumph. Isn't that cool? God designed it that way. He made it that way. The third area I'd like to talk about today is we have been called to create. I read an article this week on a website called desiringgod.org, and it's called "Make God Look Great, Create" by Stephen Altrog. He says, everyone is creative. Creativity is hardwired into our DNA by God himself. All of us were made to be creative people. Creative juices run hot through our veins. All of us have an irresistible, divinely inspired impulse to create organize and fashion. We see this clearly in Genesis. In the beginning, God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God, the greatest of all creators, the one who fashioned the sun and the humpback whale and the Great Dane, made us in his image. The divine image has been stamped on us. We alone are made in the image of God. God has given us the glorious task of representing him on the earth, of showing the world what our God is really like, of showing the watching world that our God is a creative master who loves to bring beauty out of chaos. This next part I'd like to read to you that he says, I've always known this about creativity, but I've never heard anybody put it so succinctly. He says, when an accountant takes piles of raw data and fashions the data into a meaningful sales report, he is reflecting the image of God. When a woman works the raw soil and causes it to bring forth flowers and vegetables and herbs, she is reflecting the image of God. When an electrician corrals the wild, dangerous electrical currents into light bulbs, he is reflecting the image of God. When a writer assembles letters into sentences and sentences into paragraphs and paragraphs into books, she is reflecting the image of God. Every man, woman, and child is creative. When we create, it pleases God. He sees us reflecting his image. He sees us imaging him to the rest of the world. And God loves to see his image shine throughout the world. I don't think we think about creativity in this way. We've been taught that creativity belongs to certain people. If you can sing, you're creative. If you can write, you're creative. If you can draw or paint, you're those creative people that you should be doing those things. And the rest of us just get to watch. And we just get to enjoy what you've done. But that's not true. God has created each one of us to be creative. The longest, and I want to say this to you. I want you to see that even though you may not think of yourself as having a musical gift to sing, you really do. The longest book in the Bible is filled with songs that don't rhyme. They don't fit into a nice little box of verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, chorus, which is the box that's pretty much, you know, every song you hear on the radio, that's the format it's in. The Psalms don't fit in that. The Psalms are simply songs written by a man who just desired to communicate with God in the way he was asked to communicate with him, through song. David's songs are emotional. They're full of distress. They're full of pain, lament, joy, gladness, thankfulness, prayers, praise, and the list goes on. You, as God's creation, can create songs full of words from your heart to the Lord. They don't have to rhyme. They don't have to be in any type of style or even have a melody. As you express yourself in this way, when you come to our services and you've been doing this at home and you've just been creating songs and just singing to the Lord, our praise is going to look very different. I love leading in worship, but it's between the songs sometimes that my favorite time of worship happens. When we just lift our voices to the Lord and worship him from our hearts, that's, I feel, when sometimes the most amazing times of praise happens, because it's us. It's, you know, I love leading the songs as well, but when we express our praise to the Lord in words that's meaningful to us, each one of us, and we use our own voices to do that, it's amazing and it's touching. I praise the Lord oftentimes based on what I'm going through. Sometimes you hear me sing about the Lord being my song in the night, or him moving mountains for me, or not being afraid. I sing what's on my heart, and this is a key for me. I sing the opposite of my struggles. If I'm struggling with loneliness, or I'm struggling with fear, I don't sing about the fear. Oh, Lord, I'm so scared. I don't sing that. I sing, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Sing the opposite of your struggles, because that's when your faith kicks in. If I'm struggling with something being in my way that seems too big for me to move, Then I sing, you can move mountains for me. Your singing may look very different, but that's okay. Singing has such a unique way of bringing your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength together to focus entirely and completely on God. When I pray, sometimes, I call it prayer ADD. I sit down to pray and I think about everything else except prayer. Music and singing doesn't do that for me. When I sing a prayer or I sing my praise to the Lord, it focuses me. Because it's not just about speaking. I have to use more of my brain than just the speaking part. I'd like to share with you one thing that the Lord does for me. And it's in this area of creativity. And I believe that if this is an area that you don't exercise often in your faith, I believe if you step out and you start doing this on a regular basis, and you use your words to glorify the Lord, and you use your voice to sing praises to the Lord, even though it may not sound good to your ears, it does to the Lord's. I believe that the Lord is going to take you to a new place in your faith, because he does that when we honor him. He does that when we do things his way, and we don't necessarily do it the way that makes sense to us. When I sing, I literally see music. I see colors. I see shapes. Sometimes I see pictures of what I'm singing about. Sometimes in my mind, I literally paint a picture of what I'm singing about. It's just the gift God's given me. And one night in our worship practice, this was the catalyst to Pastor Mark desiring me to speak about praise and worship. Sometimes when the worship team comes in on a Thursday night for our rehearsal, whatever has happened that day and through the week so far, sometimes it kind of comes in with us. And as we're worshiping the Lord, you know, sometimes it's more meaningful for us on a Thursday than it is on a Sunday because of what we're going through. And just as the worship team, we can worship together and not really worry about, you know, what's happening out here. And that day, I had woke up that morning, and I just had this oppression. I mean, just a heavy, heavy oppression on me. And I had prayed about it. I had sang about it. And it literally felt like it was right here. Just right there. It followed me everywhere that day. And in rehearsal, we were singing It Is Well. That was the last song. And as I was singing, I lifted my hand and I closed my eyes. And I literally saw myself in this beautiful green meadow. And it was just the most beautiful place you could be. And right over the top of me, right here, it was just as far as I could see everywhere, was just this boiling cloud. I mean, it was brooding, it was gray, it was ugly, and it was right here. And I was standing in this beautiful meadow, but right here over the top of me was just this awful thing. And so I started to sing, you know, grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. And I was standing here singing, and I just started to move my hand around. And in my mind, that cloud started to move. It didn't break, but it just started to move. And I sang through the chorus and through, you know, the next verse. And when I got to the bridge, so let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. When I got there, I literally saw the cloud just begin to break. And I could feel the warmth of the sunshine come down on me. And it was beautiful. And by the time I was done with the song, I was standing in this beautiful meadow with bright sunshine and just a cloudless sky. When you worship God and you use your voice to sing, God can touch you in a way that you've never experienced. And even though you may sound like a dying cow when you sing, I know, I used to teach voice. I've heard a lot of people sing. That's okay. You're not necessarily singing to please your ear. You're singing to please God's ear, because that's the one that we worship. I hope you found some encouragement and some enlightenment from this message today. I'm so blessed to be the praise and worship leader of this church that I love so much, and I love to serve you. Remember, our words have power. It's not about the quality of your voice, it's about your voice. And you have been created to create. Thank you.